Hello.
Hello.
I'll stand up so I can see everybody. I want to welcome all of you here. A number of you are familiar faces. I gave a talk here on Monday, and we had a lot of fun, and I especially enjoyed the questions that I was asked. I'd rather not start all the way at the beginning and just repeat everything, so what I'd like to do tonight is first I'm going to see if there's any questions from anyone, people who were here on Monday, people who have never heard of me or seen me or read any of my books before. If there are no questions, I'll just start with a different talk than on Monday, and I'll open it to questions, because really what I want to do is do my best to serve each of you. I don't have a bolt list of information that I want to press into you. I really want to serve where you're at. The domain is spirituality and sexuality. As I mentioned on Monday, the masculine and feminine within all of us look at those things really differently, really differently. And without acknowledging that, we get into trouble in our intimacies. And so one of the best ways to grow is to look at the differences between the ways the masculine and feminine grows and the stages they grow. And all of us have masculine and feminine within us, but we have it in different components. So you could look around. It's an interesting thing to do. You could look around. And the more somebody is like Hawaii, radiant, full of life, glowing, the more they have feminine components to their being. You know, they also have masculine, but their feminine is in the forefront. They look like the rainbows, you know. You could look around and see some rainbows, yeah? I'll only go as far as we go together. So are there any rainbows in the audience? And you could also look around and see some skyscrapers. And that's the masculine. The masculine in all of us is the deepest place in our being, it's absolute consciousness. Eternal, infinite, no change, no motion, no sound, no color, no light, nada. And in fact, in many spiritual traditions, they called the masculine realization emptiness. Like in Buddhism, they just call it emptiness. Whereas the feminine is total fullness. So the idea of bliss for the masculine, if you've ever seen, a man after an ejaculation or something, it's like, there's all this energy moving, he's going to come, and I was like, ah! And so, thanks for the sound effect. There's this kind of emptiness. Yeah. Finally, he's been relieved. We all know that guy. Finally, he's been relieved of stress, of desire, of need, and he is just absolute peace, and that's bliss for the masculine. It's emptiness. And he doesn't really want that interfered with. You know, if it was just give me a second. You know, he wants to. Another form of masculine joy and emptiness is watching TV. Now, everyone enjoys watching TV sometimes. He's one of those too. Everyone enjoys watching TV sometimes, but the masculine has a very specific way of watching TV. I'm not talking about watching like you sit down to watch a game or something. I'm talking about the zoning out into bliss watching TV. It doesn't matter what's on. You wouldn't remember what's on even if someone asked you, kind of watching TV. So it's just dee-dee. And there's not, it's really a kind of nothingness similar to post-ejaculative peace. It's a, isn't it? And I mean, those two, I don't know how many men would say, I mean, the ladies are laughing, so they're at least admitting this about their men, but that constitutes a fair amount of most men's bliss, watching TV and ejaculating. And I'm not always sure which order they come in. But things like actual spiritual practices from traditions, almost every spiritual tradition founded by men involved the same thing. Now, they didn't have TVs back then, and because women were considered evil for reasons we'll go into hopefully soon, men had to learn to relax into nothingness by themselves. So meditation was the most direct form of opening into emptiness. And so there are meditative techniques to let go of everything and be wide openness, wide openness. And the masculine loves that. So when the masculine meditates, it's like, don't bother me. And so you've got the Buddha meditating. You've got, you know, we'll get into that if we need to. But in many spiritual traditions, men went off into monasteries and meditated in various forms or contemplated or prayed, whether it's the Christian tradition or the Jewish tradition. I mean, women weren't even allowed to be priests or rabbis or swamis because no woman, well, I shouldn't say that. Very few women in their right mind would want to sit alone in a room by themselves all day. It wasn't that women were excluded because they were lesser originally. It's because why would a woman want to do that? The way the feminine grows spiritually is not into emptiness, but into fullness. So feminine forms of spiritual practices involve celebration and dance and music and communion, food, and so all of them together. And so feminine, you know, goddess worship involved huge bonfires of people dancing naked and playing music and touching each other and eating delicious food and feasting and loving each other as a community. And their hearts would open, and then the men would, you know, of course, you know, when it got to the point of the ladies, you know, really getting wild, the men would peak, and that began the tantric tradition, but we'll get to that hopefully in a moment. So masculine and feminine grow in different ways, very, 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 very different ways. Now, again, some of us, we have equal proportions within us, actually very few of us. Everyone likes to think they do because there's a fascist ideal these days that you're supposed to be balanced, which I hope to dismantle for all of you tonight. 10% of people, maybe, are balanced in their proportion of masculine and feminine. The rest of us would much prefer delicious lovemaking, delicious food, massage, and great conversation, or sitting alone in a room in silence. Perhaps watching TV. Sitting alone in a room in silence, by the way, is equivalent to something like rock climbing or skiing. You're alone, you're at your edge, there's nothing there. When you're down the slope, it's not like you're, hey, you know, you're right there. There's nothing else. It's not, even though you might do it with friends, and it could be a fun thing to do with friends, the act itself is very, especially the more dangerous, the more it is, the more masculine it is. And again, men and women can both enjoy that and do enjoy that. If women do it excessively, they become masculinized. If men do it excessively, they become rigid. We'll go into that, but it's like men who do too much massage. You all know massage therapists, men massage therapists who get like really soft. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, good. Because the feminine is a genius of energy. And so when you're doing massage, anyone doing massage, to do it well, you have to feel energy. You have to flow. You have to be sensitive to the person, flow with energy, conduct the energy of the universe through your body, through, if it's a really good massage, through their body. And that's a feminine capacity in men and women. Some men are better than women. Some women are better than men. Everyone has that capacity they could develop. But when men do it a lot, they end up doing so much of the energy flow through them that then they're coming home, hi baby, you know, what do you want to do? I don't know, just let's flow, let's do anything, I don't know, it's cool, you know. They become flowsters. I don't have to belabor that point and tell your eye, do I? No? Okay. So you get these flowster guys, and of course what happens then is the women feel like, well, he's not being a man, I have to be a man. So the women kind of overemphasize their capacity to be someone. Someone being defined in masculine terms, usually career. But so what we get in these kind of cultures are very goal-oriented career women and flowing guys. No one's laughing. So that's not bad. That's a form of evolution over, you know, the old style of relationships in the 1950s, say. But there's a whole realm to grow into, which is what we're going to go into for the rest of tonight. And that realm involves keeping all the gifts we've developed, but growing to the next step. And the next step, we don't have models for in our culture yet. We have very few role models as individuals. So we go, well, what's next? A woman might say, I could either be like a submissive housewife or I could be my own woman. There's not a real option that's obvious. And men go, well, I could do what I want to do and not have to deal with women, or I could, you know, compromise and kind of listen to her do things that she wants to do half the time. And so men tend to feel they have two options. They could be like jerks, or they could be these sensitive guys. But again, there's a whole nother realm of being that we need to grow into. And that takes risking being able to open completely as a man or a woman. And what open completely means is open your body. So the difference between a tight body, and if I was talking to you guys like this, you probably wouldn't listen to too much I said. Or I could open my body, literally open it, let it be more transparent to all of you, let energy flow more in and out from everyone. So I could open my body, I could open my breath. So I could have a real closed breath. Yeah, yeah, yeah. What I'm really thinking of doing tonight is I'm going to go. So my breath could be real tight, And again, I mean, you could feel what that feels like. How much do you trust? Or my breath can be open, full, relaxed. My awareness can be closed, relatively. That is, right now I'm feeling all of you, but I'm going to start doing multiplication tables in my head as I'm talking to you all. It's very difficult to do. And I start to be less with you. And now I'm going to start thinking of the work that's on my desk and the multiplication tables while I'm with you. And now I'm going to be thinking about the bills that need to be paid, the work on my desk, and the multiplication. So soon, my attention gets trapped in these things, and it's unavailable for all of you. You could feel that difference, right? Now, that's true for each of us through our day. The energy in my body that is offered to you all is my feminine gift to you all. And I have so much of it, there's plenty of people with more, but I could either be open with you or not. My masculine gift to you is how present I am with you all, undistracted. So when my attention isn't trapped in stuff and is totally open with all of you, and when my bodily energy isn't trapped in stuff, tension, closure, fear, it could be totally with all of you. And when my body is with all of you and my attention is with all of you, then you can feel me. And you don't feel me as a person. You feel consciousness and light. You feel consciousness, it's your consciousness too, and light, or the energy of the body, and it's your energy, you have the same energy. So the stage to grow into that I've been describing is about acknowledging that basically there's one being of consciousness and light, however you want to say it. You could even say conscious light, that we are. The more masculine parts of us emphasize the consciousness parts. The more feminine side of us emphasizes the light part of conscious light. That's why the more feminine you are, the more you care about your light. So you spend time in the mirror, and when you're looking in the mirror, you're really trying to see how much light is coming from me. How bright are my eyes? How bright is my skin? Feminine people could put on a blue shirt and look in the mirror and feel, put on a green shirt, you know, that does the energy a little different. Today, yesterday was a different day. Every day is different. So the more feminine you are, the more sensitive you are to how able are you to adorn your light, to magnify your light. And that is your feminine gift to the world. And saints sometimes simply radiate light. I don't know if any of you have seen people like that, but when someone falls in love, they become totally radiant, right? You go, wow, you look great. I'm in love. They're radiating. So love is the feeling of light, and when you open in love, you open your body, you become radiant. And the feminine question is, am I radiant? Do you find me radiant, dear? You know, am I radiant? Now, I talk about three stages in all of my books. The first stage of feminine radiance is, I'll do anything so that you find me attractive, because all I am is my body, and unless you find me attractive, I'm worthless. And so the first stage feminine is, am I physically attractive? You can sit here if you want. They're tired of the front row. The first stage feminine is, how do I look? Because I want to look good. I want people's attentions. I want people to like me the way I look. And all of us, men, women, and everybody, has a part of them that's a first stage feminine. When you walk by a mirror, you kind of check yourself out, whatever, you check your ass. So there's nothing wrong with it. These are all stages within us. You'll see why I call them stages. The second stage feminine goes, looks are superficial, and what's important is my mind. I want someone to want me for my mind and who I am. My looks are just not that important. And you, when you grow into your second stage feminine, you begin to act like it's not that important that you're radiant. It's an act for the most part, because if you have a feminine heart, you're dying to be seen as light. That's what you are. I mean, it's not a neurosis. You are light. To be acknowledged as what you are is just truth. So the first stage feminine is, I hope you find me radiant or I'm no good. The second stage feminine is, I don't need to be found radiant because I'm a successful person, and the body, you know, as it ages, it gets less radiant anyways, and that's not really who I am, and it's only skin deep to begin with. But inside, the feminine heart is still going, I am light, and I want everyone, especially my lover, to feel me as light, to see me as light, to know I am light, to know I'm love. Love is light. The third stage feminine goes, I am light, and I am here to bless the world with my light. period. If no one notices you, fine. You are here to bless the world as light, to literally radiate light into the world, to put love, to shine love, to give love, light, to create light in this room, to create light in your home, to create light at your job, your work, your career, in the city, in your community, to create light, to be light, to magnify light, which is love, to magnify light and love in the world, as the world. To realize that you are love and light, and that unless you are magnifying light and love, you will feel you are living less than you could. That's the third stage feminine. It certainly includes your body. So there's a third stage feminine art to adorning your body to help radiate light. Certain jewelry, cloth, anything could help you open and radiate your body, but you're not doing it because you need attention. There's a first stage part of you that does, but primarily you're doing it for the sake of others, as a blessing for others. It's very different when you look into the mirror and adorn your body as a blessing for others than if you look in the mirror and adorn your body because if you don't look good, you feel bad about yourself and you need people to notice you. Can you feel the difference between those two? So the third stage feminine is a blessing of light and love. The first stage masculine remembers that quality of presence. I am here. I am with you. To be present, you have to know your direction. So the first stage, because if I don't know my direction, I don't even know why I'm here. You become ambiguous, and then I can't be present with you. So I have to know why I'm here. This has to be my choice to be here, which it is. This is where I want to be now. A man who doesn't know his direction, or a woman who doesn't know why they're where they are, they're ambiguous. I don't know, I think I want to be with you, maybe. I don't know, at least today, for now. How trustable. So the masculine presence is liberated by knowing your direction, your purpose. What is the purpose of being alive? If you can't answer that, then your masculine is underdeveloped. The first stage masculine, the purpose of being alive, is to essentially succeed. So the first stage masculine is obsessed with making more money, getting more power, political power, whatever they conceive power to be, creating strength in the body, basically dominating, succeeding, becoming victorious. And so the first stage masculine, just like the first stage feminine, the proof of first stage masculine is like big wallet, first stage feminine, big tits, and they go together. they're attracted to each other. And so again, the first stage feminine is about look at me. The first stage masculine is like I win. Okay? It's a self-concern. Now, the fact is, all of us are also attracted to that. I mean, there's no doubt that a woman who's physically attractive is very attractive to every man, and a man who is extremely wealthy is very attractive to every woman. There might be things about them that you don't like, but it's better for a man to be wealthy than poor. It's better for a woman to be physically beautiful than ugly. I'm not knocking those things. They're just pretty low-level things, but they're real. Would anyone in here prefer a poor, ugly kind of, there's a lot more than that, but it's just the way it is. Physical beauty and money are low-level signs of feminine radiance and presence. Then in the second stage, of course, men deny that they're out to conquer the universe, and so they get soft, and they get, I'm going to go to Bali this week, and next week to Mexico, and then I'm going to go to Hawaii. You want to come? I'm going to have a great time. I'm just going to fly. I don't want to make too many plans because I got to just go with things. And I'll go with you if you want to go. I'm not saying you should go. That's up to you. But if you want to come, I think it's cool. So the second stage masculine, just like the second stage feminine, if you remember, is like, I don't really care if I'm radiant, but underneath it. Well, the first stage masculine acts like they're not in charge. They act like they don't have a strong sense of direction. They might actually denigrate their sense of direction. Like I mentioned the other time, a woman could be talking, the man could find it really boring, but instead of going, this is boring, he'll be going, and women will, instead of saying, I want to be radiant, they'll just go, no, I don't want to need to be radiant, not me. No. So in the second stage, you tend to deny your first stage core. It's a normal form of growth, because a man can only grow beyond being a macho jerk when he softens himself a little, and a woman can only grow beyond being like a bimbo by having a direction in her life. So it's a good thing to grow into that second stage. It's only a partial growth. Now you've got bimbos with direction in their life and macho jerks acting like sensitive men. But never, that's an improvement, you know? The next stage, again, is for every individual to continue developing and opening. And the masculine, the third stage masculine, for instance, is the when you open as consciousness, you have an inherent direction to you that is so crystal clear and so strong, you don't think you are doing a direction, but it orients anyone you're near and it orients the universe around you to consciousness effortlessly. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Two people know what I'm talking about? Raise your hand. I have to, okay, three, four. Let me say it again then until all of you understand it. In the first stage masculine consciousness, if I'm in the first stage masculine consciousness, I want you to know me. I want you to know I'm something good, rich, powerful, you know, whatever. In the third stage, I am giving you everything. You might kill me for it. You might hate me for it. You might ignore me. It might be uninteresting to you. But I'm giving my absolute deepest gift in full consciousness, period, whether I'm recognized or not, whether I'm rewarded or not, whether I die for it or not, as Jesus did and so forth. To give your deepest masculine gift is to give consciousness not to the world, but as the world. When you open completely in your feminine, you realize you are the light of the world. It's not just you that's beautiful. The manifestation is beautiful. The earth is beautiful. Colors, sounds, nature, you are all of that. You don't have to hide and act like, you know, you walk into the room, women try to, they do this little catty thing of, you know, you just are light. It's no big deal. I am light. I am light. You are light. We are all light. Let me serve you. Opening is light. You serve me. We are all light. The masculine is, I am consciousness. You are consciousness. What else are you? This is consciousness. To be as one in this consciousness is the masculine gift. And you could do that through the way you raise your child, through your art, through your career, through simply the way you stand. So here I am standing with you, right? Now watch this, just so you could see how important these things are. On Friday, there's another workshop, Friday 6 to 9. We're going to be in a larger room so we could do different exercises. There's circuits of energy in the body, for instance, that allow you to radiate light and become more attractive in feminine terms, or radiate consciousness and become more attractive in masculine terms. Now, that attractiveness is just the secondary aspect, because everyone wants consciousness and light. The fact is, we're all here to give consciousness and light. If you are not giving your deepest consciousness and light, you feel bad. Your life feels incomplete. If you have a masculine essence, if you're more masculine, and you aren't giving your deepest gift, or you don't even know your deepest gift anymore. You feel like, even if you have an incredibly successful career, it might feel false to you or meaningless or have lost its meaning along the way. A man like that or a woman like that who is no longer offering their deepest consciousness but kind of going through the motions that they may still be very good at, that man is hurting. Any woman can feel that in a man. That man is a partial man. As successful as he is, if he's not giving his deepest consciousness, he's weakened. Raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Okay, good, good. Likewise, a woman who isn't offering her deepest love all the time in her intimacy sexually with her children, to the world, at work, politically, in every way, just offering her deepest love in her way. Everyone has their unique way. But if you're not, if you're holding back, if there's a sense of closing in your heart, if there's a sense of guardedness in your heart, if your muscles are kind of tense around your body because for various reasons, and there's a lot of good reasons, childhood abuse, rapists, you might not want to show your radiance, but you do it unconsciously. If any woman is holding in her radiance, her love, she's hurting. Period. All suffering, one can say, is a lack of offering your fullest consciousness and your fullest light. If you are alive, wide open, and offering your absolute light and your fullest consciousness, life just unfolds spontaneously. It's still very artful. There could still be very difficult times because the world is the way it is. I mean, a hurricane, you know, imagine if you lived in Istanbul right now. Things happen that you have to deal with that could be very difficult. But if you can practice and maintain being open in consciousness and light, then that's all one can do as a living being. Anything less than that hurts. Anything less than that feels like a diminishment, feels like pain, feels like closure. It feels like dissatisfaction. And so this third stage I'm talking about, which is beyond the macho jerk submissive housewife stage and also beyond the successful integrated autonomous career woman and the soft, sensitive, safe man, the next stage of both of those are human beings, men and women, who are willing to offer their complete light and consciousness as a gift in this short span before birth and death, and possibly before and after birth and death, but that might be a different talk. So I'm going to open the doors to questions. You might want to check the time. So if there are any questions, I would, of any kind, anything that I've talked about, anything that I haven't talked about, how to apply any of this to your personal lives as individuals, as couples, I'd be happy to entertain any of that with you. Yes?
A woman has trouble articulating her question, and David responds.
Let me put a spin on this, see if this works. Since, you know, I'll just like throw a frisbee in the air, and if it slices right, let me know. And if not, we haven't lost anything. If you're, is that your man next to you? You know, are you partners? Does that count? Your husband? I don't know, you know, but you're partners of some kind, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. If he's not pinning you down to live your deepest life of ecstasy, he's failing what I'm talking about. The reason your question is what it is, and I let it play out on purpose, at your expense, but everyone else's gift, is because the feminine, the true feminine, never has the slightest idea why it's doing what it's doing, or what it wants to know, or what's next, ever. The feminine is light. The feminine is energy, light, love. The feminine is all of this, every color you see is the feminine. This wood doesn't go, the reason I'm being wood right now and where I'm going next is, do you know what I'm talking about? The trees are just growing. It's a miracle. That's what the feminine is. It's not a, there's no reason. I mean, why is anything existing? Why is there anything? No, why did the Big Bang happen? Because feminine like Big Bang, you know? I mean, that's what the feminine does. So when you relax in your feminine, now, you have a masculine part, too, which you were kind of attempting to access and answering my question, so I was playing with you. But when you have a very strong feminine essence. You're very full in your feminine, and your masculine isn't as developed, which is why he's with you. So, because you have a full feminine. And what does he need a masculine partner for? He's got plenty of masculine. So, your gift to him as a partner, not as a human being, but as a lover, is your feminine. That is your gift, which you, I'm sure, give amply, and then there's things we could work out. But what I want you to feel in this moment is that your light, which is who you are, you are light. You never need to know why you're doing anything. You never need to be able to put words on what you're feeling. Don't you hate that when men go, well, what are you feeling? And it's like to describe what you're feeling, you'd have to like say, you know, leaves, green, monsoon, yep, 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 you know, I'm just like, you know, and the masculine has, you know, like, well, are you happy? Are you sad? Or are you mad? You know? Because that's how the masculine is. The masculine has, like, you know, three shades of emotion. Maybe two. Like, I'm okay. I'm not so good. You know, when men get together, you know, people, they're not like, well, you know, they go like, how you doing? Shitty. Cool. You know, it's like, it's, or, you know, hey, you know, let's take a walk. Okay. See you later, man. Thanks, man. See you. I mean, the masculine shares in silence. The masculine shares consciousness without energy. The feminine is energy. And so every time your masculine partner or our masculine culture imposes masculine grit on you, which it has and which women have lived up to, great. It's just it's squished many women's heart in the meantime. In other words, the masculine could be developed in any woman. It's just not their deepest heart. For 80% of women, it's not their deepest desire. If your heart is feminine, which it is, no matter how directional you are, how clearly you can articulate yourself, your heart is not going to be full unless love is flowing through your body completely wide open as all the universe is light and love. Masculine, usually, would rather not even have a body. Masculine ecstasy often is absolute bodilessness. So like when men get together to drink, I mean really drink, not, you know, just social drinking. It's like you go to the place of inebriation and you commune in that bodiless, numb inebriation. And that's masculine ecstasy. Or dangerous sports, although they are bodily, the body disappears, because if you're paying attention to anything other than exactly the moment, I mean, you're not sitting there going, you know, like, na, 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 I mean, it's like, you know, you're right there, whatever it is. Everything disappears. That's the masculine bliss. And the more everything disappears, the more blissful it is. Whether it's watching TV, meditating, rock climbing, having an orgasm, the more everything disappears, the better for the masculine. Now, everything disappearing, remember, the feminine is everything. The feminine is light. So one thing that happens to intense rock climbers, intense meditators, is they become, women need to disappear-ish. Because women are light. Should we go there? So there's this kind of play where anyone who's got a true masculine knows literally nothing is more attractive to them than the feminine. Nothing is more attractive. A radiant woman could inspire them to do things they would never think of doing. And a radiant woman could make them ruin their life. It is so important to them. A radiant woman has caused wars, built monuments, paintings, poetry. Most men are inspired by a radiant woman more than any other thing. And if they could do without them, they would. There's a quality in the masculine, in the true masculine, that in fact realizes that life itself, which is woman, feminine, life is feminine, is a temporary blink in infinity, a temporary spark. You remember Humphrey Bogart in Casablanca? You know, they've got this intense, they're near the end of the movie, they've had this love affair, and he says something like, you know, the life of three people doesn't amount to a hill of beans. That's the masculine. It's like, the life doesn't amount to a hill of beans, it's nothing. And I love you. If a masculine person can't stand in that beyond lifeness, he becomes weakened and necessitates that his woman animate her masculine, and that creates the epidemic of stressed out women and undirected, spiritually ambiguous men in our culture right now. The essential aspect of masculine spiritual practice is that all of this appearance is an appearance. Everything, all of life, every moment, you don't have to get this for you completely, it's the masculine. Every moment of life is an appearance, is an occurrence. When you go to sleep at night, there's an extremely deep bliss and really deep sleep, but nothing is happening. That's what makes it blissful. Does anyone know the bliss of deep sleep? It's incredibly blissful, but nothing is happening. If stuff's happening, then it's not very deep sleep. It's not as blissful. That's masculine bliss. The bliss of deep sleep in everyday life is one way of describing it. So that they are walking through life absolutely fearlessly, giving their entire gift, because there's no sense of threat. It's all like an appearing dream. It's not fake. It's not like they pull away. But they, let me make it more specific, since if your man is weakened by your moods, you can't trust him. The larger statement is, if your man is weakened by the woman's moods, you can't trust him. Whether you realize that or not, that's what happens. You could certainly feel about it personally, right? If your man collapses every time you're in some kind of mood, I mean, how fun is that? How much can you trust him? You can't. You need a man who feels your moods, but also feels what's larger than your moods. The love between the two of you, the meaning of the universe, however you want to say it. You want a man who can feel beyond your moods, I hope. Yes? Okay. What I'm describing is simply a man who feels all of manifestation as a woman's moods, because in a sense they are. If your man is unable to feel his deepest purpose for being alive, feel the entire universe while you're railing on him, while you're screaming at him, while you're in ecstasy, while you're having the deepest orgasm, while you hate his guts, if he can't stay there with you, hopefully in good humor, listening to you, feeling you, not pulling away at all, but right there with you, and at the same time with a kind of smile of love on his face, he's not a third stage man in the way I'm describing it. And believe me, I don't do that all the time. You know, it's my practice to practice that, but that's the direction of practice. Okay. Now, if he doesn't do that, and this is getting to the point you were asking about, if he's unable to stand in that clarity of consciousness in the midst of your moods or all of existence's moods, which is just a big woman, really, full light, this is what you are, everything. If he can't stand clear in that, there's a part of you, whether you're aware of it or not, that doesn't trust him completely. That will not, let me put it this way, absolutely surrender your life to him. Because you don't trust him completely. Because you might be able to guide yourself to deeper consciousness than he can. Because you might be able to make better decisions than he can. Because he doesn't love, he's watching TV instead of loving you, because he's closing down a little bit. He's a little ambiguous. He doesn't know what his deepest reason is to be alive. And you can feel that. And so you've got to kind of guide your own life. And so even sexually, what that means is there's a lack of trust, of total surrender, emotional surrender. By surrender, I don't mean you're weak. I just mean you surrender as the big woman you are, as all of the universe. Some women have had sex. Some women have danced. Some women have just breathed in a way that they became the energy of the universe, the light of the universe. If you're not doing that, he's failing and you're failing, and all you need to do is start where you are, practicing opening his light and opening his consciousness in the ways that we've been talking about, and we'll do more on Friday in the exercises. So, what is your question now?
You said that when the man breaks down in some way, that causes the woman's maleness to come up. How does that happen?
Well, that's what I was just describing again. The breakdown in the male or the masculine partner could be the woman if the woman's the more masculine partner. But the breakdown is the breaking down of his connection to his deepest purpose is one way of saying it. Another way of saying it is the breaking down to his fullness of consciousness such that he doesn't collapse when you're everything, a bitch, an angel, a sex goddess, a child, you know, a maniac, the whole thing. If he collapses, he's lost the connection we're talking about, and you animate your masculine. There's a conservation of energy in a relationship, so if someone's got to animate the masculine, someone's got to do the feminine. The more you're in your masculine, the more he'll be in his feminine. You'll actually force him in his feminine by you being in your masculine, and he'll force you into your masculine by him being in the feminine. And sometimes you want to do that, but sometimes you don't, but you don't realize what you're doing. Go ahead, and then take another person.
You said in your talk on Monday that the culture limits a couple's ability to have this kind of dynamic exchange between the masculine and feminine. But do you really believe that there were no couples in biblical times or traditional Native American cultures that had this full expression?
No, I believe what I said is in every culture there have been periods of time where men and women were able to live full. But usually, then what happens is it becomes dogmatized. Because as soon as a woman's supposed to do something, you're in the first stage. And if you look at the Bible, or the American Indians even, there were very few women or men outside of their given roles. Now, in biblical times and in American Indian times, there were certainly couples and men and women who transcended the roles as there are today and lived the way that we're describing. So you could find examples of great men and women and great couples in all of these times that live what we're describing. And you could then see how those people are sometimes slaughtered because of it, assassinated because of it, or sometimes supported, but usually hero and heroine worship then results in minimizing them, you know. But sure, throughout history, men and women have needed to live this way. And those who were able to broke through the mores of their time, broke through the traditions of their time, and lived fully. Now, you need to be careful. I don't mean you as an individual. One needs to be careful. Masculine and feminine differentiation is usually a first stage thing. So there's lots of cultures where men did one thing and women did another. That's suppression. What I'm talking about is each individual allowing their fullest masculine and feminine to bloom entirely. And in many of those cases, it's the man's feminine that blooms and the woman's masculine that blooms. There's no shoulds about your gender. So I just want to clarify that. You had a question and we'll come to you. Yes?
Assuming you want to stay in the third stage of femininity, can you trust the impact that other people will have on that?
Ooh, that's a good question. This is the way we grow in general. You know, and these are generalities. Everything I say is a generality. There's always exceptions. In general, we grow from being dependent on others. So as a woman, let's say, and you have a feminine, as highly developed as your masculine capacity is, you're glowing, you have a feminine essence, you're a very radiant woman. And you also have a developed masculine, which is no problem at all. But in the first stage feminine is needy. It's dependent. I can't support myself. I need to find a man who could take care of me. I need to find a man who could help me grow. I can't do it by myself. Help me, help me. You know, I'm a victim. You know, whatever, however you want to characterize that. I'm caricaturing it somewhat, but you know what I'm talking about. And that part's in each of us. Then it grows into the second stage, and men and women in the second stage think they could do everything themselves. That's the sign of a second stage person. I'm whole. I'm autonomous. I don't need anyone. I'm independent. Now, I would enjoy a relationship. I don't need a relationship. Not me. I used to need a relationship. And my parents needed a relationship. I'm not going to do that. So you cultivate a kind of wholeness, which is a form of growth beyond dependence. So now you're this whole autonomous man or woman, and you have these relationships with other whole autonomous men or women, and there's this autonomy zone between the two of you, you know. Well, what happens if we break up? Well, we've taken care of that. If you need to, go do what you need to. I'll do what I need to. You know, we're not responsible for each other. You can only be responsible for yourself, right? Yes. So you have these ridiculous second stage discussions about how everyone's responsible for themselves. You can't make someone else happy. If you should go together and, you know, make it work, great. If not, hey, you tried. And so the second stage is I could do it by myself. And you could. And it's better in the sense of growing to know how to do everything by yourself than to be dependent on people. That's better. There comes a time where doing everything yourself feels very small because you realize that this is yourself. All is yourself. All of you are myself. Me serving you is me serving me. You serving me is you serving you. That separation dissolves, and so that artificial sense of I could do it myself, which is based on a sense of separation, just falls away. The question of being able to do something by yourself, or even should, shouldn't, whatever, just utterly dissolves, because what is myself? I mean, you breathe, you're breathing in the oxygen produced by the trees, I mean, you're everything. There's no delineation. You become a larger than what you called yourself. So then the first stage, you're dependent on others because you're smaller than yourself. In the second stage, you become yourself as an independent body, one body-mind. In the third stage, you open up so that all body-minds, including non-human body-minds, become part of your body. You are one, you know, not in a theoretic way. That's how it feels. So like, I'm being with you right now exactly how I would be with my lover, exactly how I would be with myself. I'm not thinking, oh, I'm doing this to you, or, you know, it's just not like that.
End of side one.